Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. What a blessing it has been already just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of Mark in chapter 4, the book of Mark in chapter 4, we're going to be reading verse 30 down to verse 34. Mark chapter 4, if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Verse 30, the Bible says, "And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for what we've already received. And now, Father, as we look into your holy word, I just pray that you would once again empower the preaching of thy word. I pray that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In Mark in chapter 4, Jesus is recording great truths through several parables. And Jesus would use parables to get man to think of spiritual things. He would compare a lot of the physical things, illustrations, to use them in helping us to think things through, to understand spiritual truths. In chapter 4, we find, first of all, verses 1 through 8, a very well-familiar parable in the parable of the sower of the seed and the results of what happens when he would sow the seed in certain places. In verse 14, it's very important because as he's explaining this first parable, he says, "The sower soweth the word." And so as he's explaining this parable, he wants them to know that he is using the parable of seed, you know, with this understanding that the seed would represent the very word of God. In verse 21 and down to verse 22, he gives us a parable of the candle and the purpose of a candle. The purpose of a candle is to give light, is to put on a candlestick and not to hide it under a bushel, but to allow that candle to give light. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 26 down to verse 29, the parable of the unconscious growth of a seed. Now, I love this because to give insight into the kingdom of God, he uses this. Now, the kingdom of God, if you will, it would be the ways of God, would be how God works in this life. It reveals to us the God and the kingdom of God, heaven brought to earth, and how God would work in using these principles in this physical place that we live. And so the unconscious growth of the seed in verse 27, he says this, "And should sleep and rise night and day," once this seed is been planted, he said, "then should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how." Things work without man's knowledge of how it works. Okay, that's what he's getting across here. We'll get to our text in just a minute, but this is leading up to the parable of the mustard seed. Okay, so he says that I've established how things are designed on the earth. I've established how things will work. And man doesn't always understand and will never understand this side of heaven on how it works. Verse 29, "But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle because the harvest is come." Things work without man's knowledge of how it works, But when it comes time, he just looks to benefit from it. Can I tell you, we benefit from how God has designed things within nature without truly understanding exactly how it comes to pass. Amen. Seed grows when placed in the ground. Still amazing. I remember as a young boy growing up, and I wanted a watermelon, and I realized that watermelons come from seeds. And I remember planting a watermelon seed, and I was amazed to see this start springing up, and this vine was going everywhere. And I actually started getting the beginning of the watermelons until my brother mowed it all down. But it was amazing to me, as it is to most young people, to realize there's just a wonder of how, by planting a seed in the ground, we see it grow, and it grows into all kinds of different things. This is not magic. This is God. Something as simple as just putting a seed in the ground and watching it grow is just part of God's design. Now, today, I think we know a little bit more than what they did in biblical days as far as how it works, but trying to duplicate it, you know, we've come a long way, but still, you can't duplicate dirt and what it does to seed. The same thing is true with the sun. I mean, just understanding what the sun provides for us. And again, we understand more how it works now. We understand how that everything rotates around the sun. The sun does not rise. We rotate around all the different things. We understand that now more than they did in biblical days. But the same thing, the sun provides just the right light for us. We understand that, but how that God orchestrated and designed it to be so far away from the sun that it provides us the right amount of light and the right amount of heat. If we was any closer or any farther away, it would not do it. But the idea is God designed that. And even though that man does not always understand how it works, we do benefit from it. God's design, and this is just an illustration that he's given us here. The man does not always understand God's design of things, but we do benefit from it. Rain. Just think about how important it is. And it just happens. Man cannot control the weather. He might understand the weather better today. At least, we think he does. That's still something. You know, they have the Doppler radar and all the different things, and they try to explain to you how it all works, and they say it's going to rain, and then it doesn't rain. Doesn't always understand exactly how it works. The one thing is true, we can't control it. It was designed by an almighty God, and we benefit from it. So these are the parables, everything leading up to what I want to preach to you this morning in verse 30, our text, the message of the mustard seed. He's still referring to the kingdom of God. In verse 30 says, "And whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God?" If you will, the kingdom of God, the ways of God, how God designed things, how God has orchestrated things, God's design. "Or with what comparison shall we compare it?" So he is helping us understand here, this parable, that he is going to use an illustration to help us to better understand God and his word. Because we've already established that the seed is the very word of God. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, it is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. Now we've studied and we know there could be smaller seeds, but not in Israel and not that they used. And that's what he's referring to, what they were familiar with. But when it's sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs. And what they were accustomed to and what they realized, this seed, this mustard seed, and he uses this because they would understand that, it would be the smallest of all the seed that they used, and yet it would grow into the greatest of all herbs, and even shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. So God compares his written word to a grain of mustard seed. And the emphasis on this grain of mustard seed would be somewhat the size, but more than that, the emphasis is placed on what comes out of the seed. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs. Something that would look to be so small and maybe even so insignificant to man, yet will accomplish great things. Something so insignificant to mankind, to the world, such as the written down word of God. Man cannot fully comprehend it. But what comes out of a mustard seed was in it. You take this small little seed, and in that small little seed, you have an example, an illustration of this huge bush or tree. I mean, that has great branches. Something, all of that, when you see the result, the full result of this plant, and realize where it came from. It all, every bit of that, every branch and every leaf and all the fruit and everything, what it grew into be, had to be within that little seed. So what was in that seed come out to produce what we see? Can I tell you that what comes out of the Word of God reflects on what was in it? God is in His Word. In John chapter 1, John in chapter 1. Now, this is the parable. This is the illustration that he uses. This little mustard seed, which was small, and somewhat people look at it and say it's insignificant. Compared to everything else in this world, compared to everything else that we've got going on, this is insignificant. How can it be that powerful? How can it have that kind of impact on humanity? Just like this little grain of mustard seed. You might think it be insignificant and small until you see what it produces and then realize it was always in that seed. In John chapter 1, in verse 1, let me get over there myself, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." This is God revealing to us how powerful the Word is. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This Word, the Bible very clear says it was God. Before humanity, before the creation of the heavens and the earth, we find that there was the Word. In verse 14, then he says, "And the Word," the very same Word that was God, "was made flesh," which reveals that to be the Lord Jesus Christ. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So the Bible very clearly reveals that Jesus Christ is the Word and was made flesh. Now, we understand that we have an Old Testament and a New Testament, which make up 66 books of the Bible, which is complete. There's no new revelation. When the book of Revelations was completed, in the very end of the scriptures, it gives a warning about not adding to or taking away from it because it's complete. And what the world still looks at as something insignificant, the world still looks at this as being something small. They don't see what's in it. What's in it is what created all things. What's in it is what designed everything that has any kind of design to it. Because God is in His Word. In the Old Testament, Jesus gave it to Moses and then the prophets. As you look to the entire Old Testament, Jesus gave it to Moses, which would be the law, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And Israel was to live by that. That was their guideline. That was their authority for their lives. And then He gave it to the prophets to help them to present God's will for their lives throughout the Old Testament and even looking forward to the New Testament age. And Joshua chapter 1, with the Word of God, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, the Old Testament, and before they would go into the promised land, after they had been delivered out of Egypt and taken to the promised land that God would give them, and on Wednesday nights we're in a study in the book of Joshua and looking at the life of Joshua. But Joshua chapter 1, the Bible says this about the Word in the Old Testament. Joshua chapter 1 verse 7, it says this, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, instructing the nation of Israel as to possessing the promised land. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee." The first five books, Jesus gave that. The Word was given to Moses and then to the prophets. "Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." Every word, everything that's written therein is important. So he says, to do all that is written therein. "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." When Israel applied the Word of God, they were prosperous. When Israel applied the Word of God, they had good success. When they failed to acknowledge the Bible, when they failed to acknowledge the Word of God, when they failed to acknowledge the importance of what was in the Word of God and what was in the Word of God, what it could do for them, they failed. And ultimately were taken into captivity. They were defeated. All because they failed to realize the importance of this Bible. And not only just the book, the written down pages, but what was in it. What was in it was a testimony of what could come out of it. As that grain of mustard seed. You look at it, come on. How can this accomplish anything? How could this little seed ever help me? But what was in it after it was planted in the ground came out of it, and it was great help. The kingdom of God is likened unto this mustard seed. You have to understand what's in it for you to ever plant it to get what comes out of it. New Testament, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. What a great passage of Scripture, 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, which takes us back to the parable of the candlestick in Mark chapter 4. But that's what God wants us to do. This is somewhat the commandment, the will of God for every believer. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill the law of the prophets. The word was given to Moses and the prophets. The word was given. The law was very important. Israel lived by the law, but then they gave of the prophets to understand that there's more beyond that. There's more beyond the Old Testament. There is a New Testament church age. There is a church that he's going to establish. They're the example of Jesus Christ for all to look to. He gave to the prophets so that they prophesied what was taking place not only then and there, but what was to come. And the Bible reveals that Jesus came not to destroy, but to fulfill. He didn't change the Old Testament. No, he just fulfilled it. He doesn't work opposite the Old Testament. No, he gives us insight in why they had what they had in Old Testament days. We're not to live by that law, and we're not to live by those sacraments, and we're not to do... No, he fulfilled that. He reveals to us why it was there, what was in it, and what comes out of it. He was in the Old Testament, and he come out of the Old Testament to fulfill the Old Testament and to give us what we are to live by today. So he says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall not in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. When you understand what's in that, and you start teaching people not only what's in it, but what can come out of it and how it can impact your life. The Bible says you're going to have rewards in heaven. You're doing the work that God has called us to do today. It's helping people to realize. This is the most powerful thing that we have today. This book right here. The 66 books of this Bible right here. Because God is in it. It's the Word. It was there before the heavens and the earth were created. It was there. It has always been because God has always been. It's eternal. But it was made flesh and given to us, completed for us by Jesus Christ, who gave the law and the prophets and now has given to us the New Testament. Jesus himself fulfilled the old and established the new. And establishing the new, we find that salvation comes out of this word. John chapter 12. Salvation. Salvation that takes somebody that was dead in their trespasses and sin on the way to a devil's hell. And what comes out of this Bible is able to save that individual. Amen. Save them from a devil's hell and then give them everlasting life. What this Bible teaches, what comes out of this Bible is the testimony of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the plan that God has for all humanity, not just a simple, just not just a few, but for all humanity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God says, this right here, this is a mustard seed. And what comes out of this is so powerful that it can save your soul. It can take you from a path to destruction, a path to a devil's hell, and it can turn you around and turn you to looking to an eternal place in heaven. The world sees it and says, how small, how insignificant. And you don't know what's in it. When you know what's in it, then you can participate in what comes out of it. You can be saved according to what the Bible says you must do to be saved. Based on the words of a God who cannot lie, I can have everlasting eternal life based on what's in this book. Outside of this book, can I tell you, man could never devise a plan like God planned. It's designed. Man can, now we understand it now. More so than we've ever understood it before because it's been completed. We've had it. We've studied it for some 2,000 years now. We understand. We have ability to understand it, but we can't ever have a better design. It's the only design. It's the only plan. What comes out of this Bible right here as this little mustard seed is a changed life. You can change a drunkard into a saint. Amen. Yeah. It's a mustard seed. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Not only, if you look to it, you can find that your salvation can come out of it because you can understand what you have to do. If you fail to get saved according to the Bible, it will be your judge. It will determine your eternal destiny. John chapter 12, Jesus taught this. John chapter 12. Amen. Everybody following with me this morning? Amen. Powerful truth. John 12, 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. That's what's in this book right here. I am come as a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me, receiveth not my words, hath one that judges him. The word. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day. This little mustard seed right here, this illustration, can give you what you need for eternal life. But if you reject it, it will be there as your judge to send you out into an eternity void of the presence of God. Yeah. Salvation comes out of this word. Something else that came out of this word, very important, God is using it to grow Christianity. God is using it to establish His church around the world. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Don't lose me here. Follow me. Get a hold of this. There's only just a couple more thoughts here and we're done. But Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16. Here Jesus said this. And Simon Peter answered. He said, "But whom say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjonas. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." God is revealing to us the things that are important through His word. "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, your faith, this belief, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The Bible here is what it is, what it takes to establish a New Testament church and the authority of that church. And the seed of the Bible is what keeps this church what it is today. 33 years ago, there was a seed planted, which was this Lighthouse Baptist Church. 33 years coming up in end of April in our church anniversary. 33 years. What has allowed this church to thrive? What's allowed this church to develop into what it is today? Can I tell you that this church and every member of this church was back, it was in that seed. God knew that through this seed of this church, that this church, the people of this church, would be reached with the gospel, that they would be reached with the soul winning, they'd be reached by door to door, they'd be reached by the preaching, they'd be reached by the members of this church, and this church would grow into what it is today. Because of what was in the seed 33 years ago. Get a hold of that. That's what Jesus is trying to help us understand through the parable of the mustard seed. What's in it will come out of it. And when you look at the seed, you might not be able to understand. But when you realize what's in that seed by viewing what comes out of the seed, you realize how important it is. How powerful it is. Not only does salvation come out of the seed, not only does the church come out of the seed, but God's using the seed to provide right counsel for every decision of life. And if you turn not away from it, just like as Joshua is presenting it to the nation of Israel going into the promised land, you can prosper. When you follow the biblical counsel, you can prosper. When you follow the biblical counsel, you can have good success. Because the counsel is from God. Amen. Who's in this book? This is the counsel that we need because it's God's counsel. Don't turn away from it. Let me just read to you in closing here just a couple psalms, verses and psalms that help you to understand the power of this seed, the power of this Bible, and how important it is for us to seek the counsel. Let me just read to you chapter 119. I love chapter 119, but verse 15, it says this, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Amen. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my paths. There's no better counsel. If you want to prosper, and if you want to have good success, there's no better counsel. Do you see what's in it? Look around you. The design of heaven and earth and all of nature came out of this right here. Salvation's plan, God's church, God's counsel, it's all in this Bible. Because God is in His Word. Let's look to it. Let's benefit from it. We might not fully understand how it works, but when I see the fruit coming out, I'm going to get my sickle and I'm going to go and I'm going to harvest it. I'm going to benefit, take advantage and benefit from everything that comes out of God's Word. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Wow. What a great illustration. The mustard seed helps us to better understand what's in it and what comes out of it. Has to be what's first of all in it. And there's some powerful things that come out of it. Father, we bow before you tonight, this morning. We thank you for the privilege of being in church and what we have received this morning. Thank you for your presence here. And right now, Father, as we go into this invitation time, I don't know exactly how you spoke to the people that are here today. Only you know what their needs are, and I pray, God, that each one would have received your counsel, your word, and they would be ready right now to respond to it. If there need to be saved, that they'd come to this altar and do what you have revealed to us in your word that a person must do to be saved, to identify with you through believer's baptism, to rededicate a life, whatever it might be, God, pray that your blessings would be upon this invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.